Hi there, I'm Leslie Dolphin. Now, it's a well-known fact that men aren't generally as good as women when it comes to opening up about their problems and feelings. And that's why the concept of men's sheds was born. There are now over 1,000 of them in the UK and quite a few in Suffolk, which offer a safe space where men can talk and keep busy. So for the latest Suffolk Money podcast, supported by Kingsfleet, my colleague Kevin Birch has been on his travels to find out more.
So here we are, we're on the road again this morning, and I've come to a wonderful setting of Long Melford. And I'm standing in front of, an old building, which is actually the old changing rooms here beside the football ground, but it's undergoing some kind of transformation. And that's because it's now home to the local men's shed. And over the door, I know I'm in the right place, because over the door there's a lovely, beautiful, curved wooden sign saying, and it depends how you pronounce it, Stour or Stour. I'm going to go with Stour. It says the Stour Valley Men's Shed, established 2023. So I know I'm in the right place, and there's lots of activity going on inside. Let's go and see what they're up to. Here we are, they're coming in. There's lots of people here. They're, I think, planning what they're going to do for the day. Good morning.
Morning.
Coffee time, I can see that.
Thawing out time.
And Colin, good morning to you. I think you're, at the moment, probably planning what you're going to be doing, because there's a lot of chatter going on. But
yeah.
But just tell me, I said from the outside, it's the old changing rooms, isn't it? So
yeah.
Just tell me, how did you come to be here and what have you had to do so far?
It was offered to us at our launch. We took a look inside it and it was really very dilapidated, absolutely run down and full of rather smelly football kit. But it showed promise, and although there were about five rooms in here with very solid brick walls, it was really promising. And so when it was offered to us, we started to take the place apart. And basically, we've taken it back to just outside walls, made a tea room, made a workshop, filled in one of the team baths, and it's how it is now. It's not an ideal building, because being built late 40s, early 50s, there was no such thing as insulation. The roof, I think, has been replaced, but the sort of insulation they've put in was based on straw, and because of roof leaks, that's all blown and fallen apart. So, yeah, it's not ideal, but it works. And once we either get a new roof or get the roof repaired and re-insulated, and then the walls insulated and clad on the outside to make the place look a little better, yeah, we'll be okay.
You'll be okay, but it's homely. I have to say that when you walk in.
It's homely. It's certainly homely. And it's a friendly bunch as well, so that makes it even better.
And you could admire the elements because you can see through the roof, so you know what the weather's doing.
Oh, yes, you can see
the sky.
Yeah, we can certainly feel the temperature, especially when it's quite cold outside. This place is like a fridge. But we will be getting onto it. We've got a good team looking at grants. And hopefully it'll all be sorted soon.
Yeah, we'll talk about the grants a bit later on. But to start with, I mean, I said it was established 2023. What was the driving force? What did you want to achieve through this setup?
I'd seen things about men's sheds on the telly, you heard it on the radio. And I thought that it was a really good thing to do. I have a nice workshop at home, and I spent quite a time in it. And it's great, because I'm a practical sort of bloke. And it keeps me going. It keeps me alert, keeps the brain going. When it comes to other people, there are loads and loads of people who are stuck in with isolation. They may be widowers. They don't know what the hell to do. They've got loads of time. They don't know how to deal with the time that they've got. And of course, they get depressed. And one of the problems with retirement is when a bloke stops being an accountant, a doctor, or whatever, what are they? They're a retired one, yes, but what do? Okay, they might do a bit of gardening. But unless they've got something that they particularly like to do, they have no socialisation at all. And that's really awful. So with the shed, people can come here, they can work in the workshop if they want. They don't have to. They can sit down, have a cuppa, have a chat, discuss their careers, listen to other people's experiences, and also, and it's the crux of the matter, to discuss their symptoms and their difficulties and things, because a problem shared is a problem halved, and hopefully it will actually get men to go to the doctors.
And people always say, don't they, that women are far better at chatting, talking. Are we unlocking something here in terms of men not being very good at doing that?
Yeah, very true. That is the big thing. It's getting people to talk. It's getting people to socialise. It's minimising isolation. I know that loneliness sounds a sort of pathetic word, but it is real. It's awful.
When we were talking, you were saying that at the start, you were quite overwhelmed by the interest. How many people do you have coming to a regular session? What are the sort of numbers like?
We've got about 40-odd on the books, what you might call paid members. It could be anything from 3 to 35.
And I know you were telling me it's very much part of the community and also helping the community. You pay a very sort of minimal rent, but with that you kind of have a reciprocal arrangement where you do jobs and things like that. So what are the kind of work that the guys are getting involved in?
We've been doing all manner of things, from cleaning out gutters on the new clubhouse. That's a constant job. It's the gift that keeps on giving. But also things around the football club. We don't do groundsman's work, but we do maintenance. We will mend a fence. We will clear all manner of vegetation. We've got a team going on, clearing many, many, many brambles at the moment. So, yeah, we just do what we can around the place to pay our rent, basically, because we're here just for a peppercorn rent.
Yeah, so on that, how is it self-funding? I suppose what you can do depends on the kind of money you can generate, but as a funding model, how does it work?
It doesn't.
That's the simple answer.
What we're trying to do is to put together certain things that we can sell at, say, craft fairs or that sort of thing. And we intend to hold events in the hall of the football club, which we can use. But at the moment, it's basically down to grants and donations. We had a wonderful donation from one of my ex-students at the start. It was really extremely generous. And without that, we really wouldn't have got as far as we have. But we've managed to get some money here, some money there. Some people have been very generous.
I was going to say, it's a tough time, isn't it, to try and ask for money, because we know how competitive that arena is.
It is absolutely awful. People have no money to spare. And so anything that we get is really excellent. One of the local councillors held a Burns night, from which we got a fair lump, and other people have done, well, they've done what they can.
Yeah, and that's great. And I imagine, because you are still quite young, that hopefully that will grow, that momentum will build.
Yes, we're a young group of old gits, I like to say. I'm hoping the momentum will build. When we're up and running properly, I'm hoping that we can repair things for people, not like the repair shop on telly. If people can't afford to repair, say, a table or a chair or whatever, We can take it in, repair it, and then if they've got any money to give us a donation, they can. And if not, don't worry about it.
Because what you have within this group and others out there is a tremendous skill set, don't you? And years of experience.
We have everything from a person who did newspaper printing to someone who's a forensic scientist. So, yes, we've got the whole lot.
And you must be really proud, Colin, that you and, you know, a few of you, you've actually done this to get this off the ground. I mean, that's no mean achievement.
Well, Paul Thompson and I have done a lot of work to try and get it going. But it's everybody in the group who has done something. I mean, I'm really dead proud of all of them. Really am.
Well, it's fantastic. And we should say, you spent, I think you said, 30 years as a teacher. So those skills have come in useful, I bet.
Almost 30 years, yes. I fell off my trolley a little earlier than that. But, yes, it has, yes, the skills I've used all my life have definitely come in handy. But, yeah, well, trying to keep control of this bunch is a bit like knitting fog, I have to say.
or nailing jelly to the wall. Choose whichever one you want.
That's it, herding cats.
And what do people do if they want to find out more? Because we should say Men's Sheds, I mean, it is a UK-wide network, isn't it? If they want to find out more about this, how do they go about that?
Wherever people are, if you look on the net for UK Men's Sheds, you'll find all the information you need. There's a find a shed facility. We're on it. And so wherever you are, you'll be able to see the sheds that are nearest to you. We've got in Suffolk, we've got Ipswich, we've got Hadley, Bury St Edmunds, Needham Market, Stowe Market, Haverhill. We're all over the place.
Colin, thank you very much. It's been absolutely brilliant. And good luck, success with it. I'm going to talk to some of the other guys here in the team, but for the moment, thank you very much indeed.
OK.
Right, I'm going to have a chat next with Dave Brown. You came in when I first got here. You were thawing out. What had you been doing?
That's true. I was... because we're co-located within the Long Melford Community Trust, which is sitting on top of the Long Melford football team, there's a whole list of physical jobs that they would really want to have done, but they haven't got the manpower to do it. So as a kind of payback for their generosity affording us this building, we agreed to, where we've got manpower, help them reduce that list of outstanding jobs. One of those is to clear brambles from the north side of the football pitch. And that's been the focus of a small crew of us, whilst we've got other guys doing chainsaw work on the east side. And it's a kind of symbiotic relationship with the football club.
Yeah. So when they said brambles, did you volunteer? Did you put your hand up, or did they volunteer you?
No. It's they were very modest with what they need, and they needed some encouragement to compile this list because they weren't sure how to gauge our depth of commitment.
Yeah.
And I think we've reassured them now. We've got a chap, Graham, who's fitted shelves, substantial shelves, in their new pavilion, which their architect, Kevin, masterminded. Peter Turner, who's the chairman of the community trust, is very sociable. He and his wife, Lynn, spend hours trying to develop and preserve the football club and the social club dimension of their site.
Well, it works well. It's a reciprocal arrangement, which is obviously well. And you're, as I was saying to Colin, you're still very young, and there's obviously a lot to do. But what you've done already is really impressive within this building. What for you, Dave, was the kind of where did you get your impetus to come here and be part of the Men's Shed?
Isolation and society's encouragement for men to be manning up if they have any problems that they can't easily resolve drives us towards not sharing our emotions. And although when I was coming towards the end of my career, Iraq war came up and there was an awful lot of work that we had to do to modify aircraft and make sure we maximise the potential in a hostile environment. I was responsible for certain bits that were almost irreconcilable within the need to develop aircraft modifications. And the workload was such that I was taking work home at weekends to try and keep abreast of all of the inputs. And I had a chemical breakdown. I had my wife, who at the time saw the signs before I did. But one morning I came down and sat at the breakfast table and didn't function. That started a long recovery for me, which was associated with depression, isolation, and the detachment from the contacts and the support networks that you read that other people enjoy. And that gave me some insight into the concept that I hoped the Men's Shed initiative hoped to provide. The low-level ability to come and have either a coffee, a couple of biscuits and a chat in an all-male environment where I don't really have so much of a resistance to sharing certain bits about my health and my difficulties in life with mixed company. But I think there is a commonality where you're speaking with men who may well have had that same journey.
Well, your skill level was really high because people may have guessed already, but you'd worked as an aircraft engineer. You'd been around the world. So your skill level and your knowledge and expertise was way up there.
I think I am conscious that I engage with projects like this in a more strategic way rather than just on a, I need to do this and therefore that's what I'll do. But I think it applies to this because of the stage we're at. We're very much a young, as you alluded to, young organisation, a young men's shed group. And at this particular phase, we need to focus on getting the architecture right so it's a safe environment for people that may have no professional or technical competence, but they want to learn and they want to do this in a safe and sociable environment. That resonates with me. So when we get past the structural integrity of the building and we've got a whole raft of challenges to overcome.
I can see that.
we've got six projects that we're focusing on, or that I'm focusing on. And Tim Blackburn, one of the other trustees, has kindly offered to help supplement my efforts. And we kind of almost joined at the hip electronically. So anything I send out to contractors or exploring expressions of interest, I send him. So he keeps a weather watch on what I'm doing. But we've got six sub-projects that need to be done, namely the roof, the insulation, external cladding, because we've got no heating. We want to include a facility for less able people. So we've got drawings and we've gone to contract or invited contracts for the accessibility toilet, external ramps. We've got replacement of windows. Each one having to be costed and get three quotes before we can go to any grant funder. In fact, we've got a stress loads spread analysis team coming in this afternoon to do that very thing on the roof, because we also want to get a suite of solar panels on the roof so we reduce our footprint on the national grid. Each of those in isolation is quite challenging because there's a kind of consequence, and the load spread analysis is the choke point. We hope that once we get those evidenced values, we can then reassure the grant provider that we are what I regard as an intelligent customer. We've done due diligence and we know what we need to provide to them to reassure them that we're not being cavalier about what our needs are.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you talk to anyone about applying for grants, it's an incredibly complex business and time-consuming. And as Colin was talking about earlier, this is incredibly competitive, isn't it? Because everyone's after money.
That's a good point. We appreciate it. In fact, we had to curtail our application for Boots, the pharmaceutical outlet, because it was oversubscribed. And there is an element of good fortune, where if you can get your bid in early enough, you are ahead of the bow wave. But very often, as we needed to get the structural loads analysis evidence to support our claim, we weren't able to have a mature bid, so we had to bin that and then concentrate on another one. But you're right, it does need continual assessment and consideration. And I've got here a book that's full of my correspondence and due diligence to various contractors and funders, hoping to get all our ducks in a row to say, we're ready now. Please, will you assess us against our peers?
Well, it's incredibly satisfying, and for you as well, to see other guys come through and become part of this, and I'm sure the momentum will grow. I mean, that must be a really lovely feeling.
It is, and I think that one thing that, as if there were one thing that I could recall quickly, is the generosity of information sharing within the men's shed concept, the group, the wider family. I had the benefit of having a chap called Frank Heinrich Jones, who's the men's shed ambassador. He kindly took the time when I was laid up after my foot op and I couldn't get out or drive. He came to my home and spent about 4 hours going through how his group, which was at Long Sutton, benefited from over £15,000 of successful loan applications. I haven't made any overtures to any men's shed related group or association where the response has been, I've got information and I don't want to share it. It's been completely open and generously shared. That gave me a greater level of optimism that what we're joining is a loose relationship, because one template for one group doesn't read across to one in another part of the country. But the ethos is we're here under the same need. Secure, social, encouraging environments where people can either sit and absorb the atmosphere or do pet projects or learn new skills, all nurtured by people who may well have gone on that same journey.
And it's interesting, because when you talk so openly about, you know, your own struggles, if I can call it that, I wonder, because of your military career, had you always been surrounded by other men, had been working as a team, and then suddenly part of that was you were clearly soaking up a lot of pressure, but also did you just feel that suddenly you were kind of on your own, having always had people around you?
There wasn't a feeling of being on my own because of the lack of will on the part of the system that I just left. I had noticed that there was a change from an all-male dominant culture to more of technically capable females. And I have an awful lot of respect for those as and when they came under my wing on aircraft servicing. And very often you find the girls would be more focused on getting things right because they had this, I'm in a male bastion environment, and they wanted to make sure. And that's unfortunate, but I respected their drive to be accepted technically as well as socially. There's a long-standing perception, whether it's based on fact or not, that where ladies, if I can use that term, had this loose network where they would get together periodically under the WI or any other loose assemblies, they would use each other as a sounding board and they would share their frustrations with, dare I say it, the husbands, the family, or whatever it is that troubles them at the time. But men haven't been able to evolve in this at the same rate. This resonated with me, that whilst I don't sign up to groups at the expense of female contribution, there is a dimension that men will close up if they feel they have to share their particular history with someone of the opposite sex. I can only assume that there may be that same sensitivity from the female perspective, but I don't wish to change the concept of this, and I think I'll be I'm happy to grab it with both hands and make the best of what we have here. Although you probably appreciate that what we desperately need here is double, triple the floor space. I've engaged with the community trust here and explored the possibility of people who want to do art or drawing to be able to lease a dry and warm and well-lit environment. We have to scope the level of enthusiasm for that. The ethos here I've learnt is that the membership have the voice and it's not autocratic or hierarchical. It's got to have the attendance of those people that buy into the concept of doing something personal, social and educationally, such that they will walk away from here each week saying, do you know what, I've learnt and I feel better for having been here. Proof is in the pudding, I suppose. We'll have to just wait for time on that.
Oh, that's fantastic, Dave. I mean, it's there's so much ambition, so much you need to do, but it's very exciting. And, yeah, thank you for talking about your own personal journey, because that's a real insight. It's been great.
Well, thank you very much for inquiring after our modest startings, and let's hope it all grow into a few oaks.
Well, I'm now with Graham Leake. Graham, you were involved from the start with the group?
Yes, yeah. Right, from day one. So, yeah. It's been a nice trip so far.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And why did you want to get involved?
I actually live Hadley, but I worked around the Sudbury area, Delphi Diesel, before it closed. And I was there up until maybe two, three months before it shut. And I just liked the place. So when I heard that this men's shed was being formed, I thought, might as well get involved.
For you, what is this group all about? What is it you want people to get out of it?
Well, as for health awareness and everything else that goes along, because men never talk. Myself, I've prostate cancer, so passing on the info to get everybody to get tested, you know. So that's a very difficult situation to get men to talk. But because of my situation, I feel as though I need to get them and ask the question, every new member, and including yourself, have you been tested?
Some years ago.
Yeah.
But not recently. No, we're talking 2-3 years ago. Mm.
And I know the story is about us, but I need to ask the question. So basically, if you haven't, you need to. Because if I hadn't have been tested when I was, 2 years down the line, too late. So very lucky.
So that's interesting, isn't it? And again, this spectrum of what people bring to the group and the reason for this group, I mean, that's incredible. That's the key thing you want to pass on and want to achieve, is just spreading that word.
Yeah, that is a very sort of touchy subject with a lot of men, because when you just say to them, have you been tested? No. Why not? Some of them come along, they say, oh, the reason I haven't been tested is because my surgery doesn't do it. Well, they do it, because you can go in and, for want of a better word, demand to have that test, and they cannot deny it. So, yeah, just push it forward and get people to understand that their, to a degree, their life depends on it, you know. So,
but there's always an excuse, isn't there, not to do it?
I've asked two or three of the new men I've seen today, no, I haven't been tested, and no, I haven't been tested, but, you know, that's number one priority, you know. So, but, and I've been to a couple of forums of different places, so I do understand what is necessary to keep us old men kicking along, basically.
Well, it's brilliant. I mean, it's you know, to say it's laudable doesn't really do it. I mean, it's such an important thing. For you, on the wider thing, when you come here, what are the kind of things you do? I mean, do you volunteer? Do you put your hand up, or do they pick you out?
Oh yeah, I've been in the process of the build, taking the place apart, you know, because that was a change in room with baths and everything sunk in the floor, just where the doorway comes in and the next area where the drills and other bits and pieces are. And so ever since get-go, and now I'm doing work in the actual football club, putting some shelves up just to help them, and that help pay our rent. Basically, all the work we do, like Dave, who you interviewed a little while ago, he's been out in the fields, round the back, cutting brambles and everything, clearing a better pathway around the place. So, you know, there's a lot we can do, and there's a lot we need to do here, but we need finance.
Well, that's the key thing, isn't it? And talking to Dave, he was saying about, you know, the search for grant money, that kind of thing. But what you're doing here, I think, is really important, because this building, we talk about recycling, reuse, which you're doing, and also this kind of reciprocal arrangement that, yes, you're here, but you're part of the community. So if you can give back in return, that's so important.
Oh, yeah. That is a difficult situation, then, getting people to want to commit to help community and, you know, help themselves, really. You know, some people, they just sit back and just watch their lives sort of drifting by, you know, but if you've got the motivation to give back, do it.
So that would be, I was going to ask you, what your message would be to anyone who's thinking about it?
Well, just go for it. Give it a go, because if that ain't for you, you know, you can only try, basically.
You've got nothing to lose, have you?
Absolutely nothing.
And I've been impressed with your new coffee machine.
Yeah. That's the first I've seen of it. It's only just arrived. So.
That's worth coming for that, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But we were donated a couple of bits of machinery, and I did an auto jumble out at Sizewell the weekend, and I took them along there. And we could have maybe got £200 a piece for them, but at the end of the day, we only got about £160 each for these machines because they weren't running. But, you know, that is what it is. But that's a little bit of money going into the coffers.
And it all helps, as we know. We spoke
about
how competitive things are for money, and everybody's needy. So, it all helps.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
It's Colin's just snuck back in the room.
He cost a lot.
What, in coffee alone?
I'm not really here.
No. Oh, Graham, that's great to talk to you. Lovely. Good luck, and on you go. Fantastic.
Yes, there's still a lot to do, but, you know, we'll get there one day.
So how fantastic was that? I'm so thankful to the guys here for their time and their insight and the work they're doing. And bearing in mind, this is just the start. I mean, there's so much to do, but there's so much potential. And all of them bring to it their life story, their life experience and their skills. And that is, how do you put a value on that? It's fantastic. And when you think of it, a shed, normally, for a man, it's a solitary experience. I'll be in the shed if you need me. You know, we're doing things on our own. We're fiddling, we're potting, we're mending things. But this concept turns that completely on its head. It's a collective. It's all about the group. It's about what everyone brings to the party. And that is such a fabulous thing. Been such a privilege to be here.
That's Kevin Birch at the Stour Valley Men's Club in Long Melford, with group leader Colin Madimer and members Dave Brown and Graham Leake. And if you want to find out more, just visit stourvalleymensclub.org. There's plenty of information and some great pictures of the work that they've done so far. Don't forget as well to subscribe to the podcast when you visit our website, which is suffolkmoney.co.uk. And if you could give us a top rating, that'll help more people to find us too. My thanks to Kevin and to the rest of the team who helped produce the podcast. That's Sally Birch and Joy Day. And of course, huge thanks to you for listening. From me, Leslie Dolphin, until the next time, bye.